Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead, not metaphysically, not in an ethereal way. Jesus rose from the dead bodily. And he says, because I live, you shall live also.
This week, we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join Joseph Prince as he shares about the life-changing victory that is ours today because of Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Start each day with a reminder of God's goodness in your life with Joseph's book, Grace for Today. Request your copy for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website today.
And now, here is Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
Jesus said in John 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So notice, Jesus said, the thief, singular, who is that? That's the devil. He comes to steal and then to kill. Notice, he cannot kill unless he has first stolen. So what does the devil steal from you? He steals the truth of God's word. He has to remove what you are believing that is right. Now, Jesus himself said in John 10:10, we just read, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God never steals from you. God never kills. God doesn't destroy. God is a good God. Is this the kind of world that God brought us into? No. I regret to tell you, we are in a fallen earth. But this is not the way God made the earth. This is not the way the Father's plan for us in the beginning is that we enjoy lavish abundance. We enjoy health, wholeness, that we will never die. So to God, death is but an enemy. The Bible is very clear. The Bible used the word, the last enemy that should be put under Jesus' feet is death. So death is foreign to God. Amen. God hates death as much as he hates sin. But in the very beginning, when God created man and woman, the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, our first parents, he God put them in a garden where he surrounded them with abundance, munificence, extravagance. There was more than enough for one couple. They were the first couple. And God lavished them with more than enough. So in a world of selfishness and self-centeredness and sin, people have robbed these provisions that God has given to all men to share. And one person can actually enjoy more than enough. But why then do we have poverty? Why was Jesus, the Son of God, who came to earth to die for us, crucified without any clothes on? Why? He who flung the stars and the suns into space, amen, the galaxies, the planets, he who created the sapphires, diamonds, rubies, he was made poor, the Bible says, that you through his poverty might be rich. Because what happened on the cross is a divine exchange of all that we have lost because of our sin. On the cross, Jesus wore the crown of thorns. Why? Because when Adam sinned, God says from now on, the ground will not easily yield to you its harvest. You, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread from the ground. You know, Jesus, to redeem us in the passion, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane just a few hours before he was crucified on the cross. Jesus was in the garden praying. And the Bible says he sweat so much that his capillaries burst. Now, it's a condition that scientists call only under great duress, under great extreme stress, the capillaries will burst and mix up with your sweat. And you are literally sweating blood. It's a very rare case, but it does happen. And Jesus sweat blood and the blood dropped to the ground. What does that tell us? Well, the Bible says we are all redeemed by the blood of Jesus. There is no sin in the blood of Jesus. He was born of a virgin. The blood in him all came from his Father. And the blood in him was there to be shed. He came to die for us. Amen. Because we needed to be redeemed. All creation has fallen. There is no hope in creation. No matter how organic your diet is, you will die. No matter how much you exercise, you will die. Amen? But Jesus came to bring the gift of eternal life through his name. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. And the first area he covered for us was actually in the garden, because what happened to our first parents actually happened in a garden. So Jesus, to redeem us, he was in the garden, another garden, but this time he sweat blood. And later on, they'll put the crown of thorns on his head. Why did he sweat blood? Because his blood has redeeming, buying back property, buying you from the slave market, buying you from the curse, buying you out of darkness with a price. And the price was his precious blood. And by his blood, he redeemed all of us from that curse that came on mankind when he sinned. When Adam sinned, God says, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. In other words, all the good things in life can only come by your sweat, by your hard work, by your painful labor. Well, all that has been redeemed for us by Jesus Christ when he sweat blood. Because of the redeeming quality of his blood, when his sweat and the blood mix, he redeemed all of us from the curse of human sweat. So today we receive the blessings, the good life, life more abundant as a gift, not by our sweat, blood, and tears, not by our human effort, but by his grace. For God to forgive us our sins is free for us, but it cost God his son. His son has to come down, and his son chose to come down. Amen. He chose to go to the cross and gave his life for us on that cross, bearing our sins in his own body. Why? We go back again to the garden. Amen? Not only God says, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. God says, from now on. In fact, God told Adam, the day you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, dying you shall die. In other words, dying spiritually, you shall die one day physically. But from that day, when man partook of that fruit, man died inside spiritually. You see, friends, let me just say this. You are not just a body. All right? You're not just a mind. You are a spirit. God made you a spirit. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When God made man, God says, let us. Have you noticed the word us in your English Bible, the King James Bible? Let us. That is plural, isn't it? But one God, triunity, one God. Three distinct persons, one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God says, let us make man in our image. God made you a triunity as well, because you are made in God's image. You see, you are a spirit. You dwell inside. Amen. All of us, we are spirit beings. That's why we can sense things that are spiritual long before our mind catches up. We can sense things intuitively long before our understanding can relate to us what is happening. Our spirit is faster than our brain. Sometimes you can sense, that's why young children, they can sense evil people. They don't like certain ones, amen, faster than we can. Their spirit is alive, amen. So for us, we don't realize that we just think we are our bodies. We are not our bodies. Our bodies is an integral part of God's creation, because God made us tripartite, okay? You are a spirit. You have a soul that is your mind and your emotions. Okay, your will, your mind, emotions, and what we call soul. You're not, soul is not spirit. Spirit is spirit, the Bible tells us. Spirit is like God. God is a spirit. God made us all spirits. Then we have souls. And we live in a body. Amen. So with the body, you contact the physical world. With the mind, the intellectual world. But with the spirit, you contact God. Now that part when man's sin was cut off from God. That part died. When the Bible says you must be born again, it's that part the Bible is referring to. The real you. Your spirit and soul is your inner man. But you live in a body. So if I die right now, which I won't, I'll try not to, by the grace of God. Okay, if I die right now, boom, my body drops, right? But I will step out of my body. That's the real me. I look down and say, wow. What's that good-looking corpse doing down there? Or your laugh. Okay, no corpse look good, yeah? So I'm stepping out of my house, but I can't call out to you anymore. Why? My vocal cords by which I communicate with the physical, you communicate the physical. The cords is no more with me. It's down there. Right? But I'm still alive. How do you explain? There must be a place to house me, heaven or hell. We know that death is not natural. That's why we don't like to attend funerals. We go because of our love and respect for the people that are there, but we don't like to be there. We enjoy being at weddings. It's a celebration of life and new births. But we don't enjoy death because we know that death is foreign to our nature. You are right, my friend. You sense that in your spirit because death was never meant to be. And today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead, not metaphysically, not in an ethereal way. Jesus rose from the dead bodily. And he says, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. So one of the things Jesus conquered on the cross is death itself. Hallelujah. When God wanted to make man, God spoke to himself. He didn't speak to the ground. He didn't speak to the sea. He spoke to himself. And this is what God said, let us make man in our image. And in the image of God, man was created. Male and female, he created them. Amen. What does that mean? Apart from the ground, the tree is dead. Apart from the waters, the fish is dead. Apart from God, man is dead. And God ordained also that the tree will draw its fruit, its food, nourishment from the ground. The fish will draw its nourishment from the sea. Likewise, we will draw our life force, amen, our health, our sustenance from God. But then God didn't make man totally of himself. God made man out of the dust of the ground, like a mannequin, just a house. There was nothing inside. And then the Bible says God breathed into man. I love the Hebrew word. The word there has a breathing out. Vahipa. God breathed in the Hebrew. Vahipa. God breathed into man. And man became a living soul. Yo, what's up? He became a living animated man. Amen? It's a God-man in a sense. We are not divine. We'll never be divine. Understand? Understand this. Jesus is divine. God. Fully God, fully man. We are sons of man who are born again and become sons of God, but we are not divine. Follow what I'm saying? Partakers of the divine nature, but not divine. Okay? Only God is divine. So watch this. Now we have the life from God. So that life from God cannot die. It must be housed somewhere. It cannot be housed in heaven because if it's full of sin, it cannot enter heaven. So it must be housed somewhere. And hell was not created for man. Jesus himself said hell was created for the devil and his fallen angels. Amen. But man will go there if that's who they want to follow. Man sinned against God, committed high treason, bowed his knee to Satan, and gave literally the key of authority over this earth, gave it to Satan. Now, who has the key now? Satan. And Satan brought in anything abominable and damnable you can think of, all right? Disease, growing old, mental conditions of depression, anxiety, stress, broken relationships, strife, bitterness, wars, even the weather going crazy, you know, earthquakes and all that. All this is not from God. It's from the devil. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, why didn't God just come in and say, devil, I take back the key? If God did that, God will be powerful, yes, but unjust. God is not just all powerful. He's a just God. And he does things justly and righteously and judiciously. So God cannot do that. It was to man that God gave the authority. Man gave the authority to the devil by his sin. Now it must be a man, another man, that will take back the authority. Hence, we have the beautiful love story. God loved you and I. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus is called what? The last Adam. There was a first Adam, right? Who committed high treason, sold his high inheritance. And then God sent the last Adam. The last Adam came. Amen. Jesus came for what purpose? To take back that authority. But he has to do it legally, righteously, judiciously. So God has to forgive on a righteous foundation. So how can God do that? God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And on that cross, by the way, Jesus wasn't murdered. He laid down his life. Amen. When they came to arrest him in the garden, all right, they said, these are soldiers brandishing their staves and their swords, carrying torchlights, I mean the lamp that was burning with their spears and all that. And a lot of them, soldiers came to arrest Jesus, one man. And when they said, we came to arrest Jesus of Nazareth, all he said was, I am. Bang! They all fell, the Bible says. They all fell. Pinned to the ground. Arrested by the power of God. By the one they came to arrest. Remember what I am? Moses. Many of you watched the Ten Commandments, right? Moses asked God for his name when he saw the burning bush that was burning, but not burned, not consumed. He says, God was in the burning bush. And he asked God, what is your name? If the people of Israel says, what is God's name? What shall I tell them? God says, I am that I am. So when they came to arrest Jesus and Jesus says, I am, they all fell. They should have known while they are lying down there. Very familiar, I am. He was declaring himself as God. So he allowed them to get up to arrest him. Amen. Let me tell you, Jesus is not like, you know, a softie, okay? He didn't look like a hardcore fisherman, you know, by the Sea of Galilee. He comes to them and spoke only two words. They left everything and followed him. Do you think he spoke like that? Hello? Want to follow me or not? Come on. Yeah, come on. No, he went to them, spoke two words, follow me, strong man, all right, spitting down on the ground man, all right, coarse mouth man, yeah, coarse with language that's really coarse, fisherman, left everything and followed him. There's something magnetic, something attractive about Jesus. In the garden, when he stepped up, they said that he asked them, whom do you seek to arrest? We seek Jesus of Nazareth. He stepped up, I am. They all fell backwards. So, you see, he could have run. He could have fled. But no, he came to die. He allowed them to arrest him. And they were shocked when he laid himself on the cross to die for our sins. Because your sins and my sins must be paid. So on that cross, a divine exchange took place. Amen. God took all your sins and God put it into Jesus. And God took all Jesus' righteousness and credited to your account. So God treated Jesus like he's the worst sinner at the cross. And God treats you today like you're the best person that ever walked on earth, with all his blessings and favor shining on you. You say, I don't deserve it. I say, Jesus doesn't deserve to become sin at the cross. But Jesus became sin at the cross. Likewise, you and I don't deserve, myself included, Pastor Prince himself, I don't deserve to be righteous, but I am righteous in God's eyes. You know why? I receive his gift. How did Jesus become sin at the cross? He received your sins and my sin into his very body. How do you and I become righteous today? We receive his righteousness. But herein lies the crux. You must receive. It's not automatic. See, when God made man with a free choice. God does not want a being that he has created in his image to have no free choice. But this is the thing, you see. When God made man and woman, God surrounded them with so many, not so many, it's wrong to say so many, everything that was good for them, that was beneficial for them, that was abundant for them, that was rich for them, it's all for them. Everything around them is good. People ask, why did God put that tree in the center of the garden and tell them not to eat from that tree? God has to. Because if he created a man with a free choice and he surrounded himself with everything good around that man and say, remember, my advice is choose good. You know what I'm saying? Everything I choose is good. Why? So in order for God's judicial sight okay, to be portrayed, to be showed, or else the devil himself will say, you never give man your choice. There must be at least one tree that will cause man to choose whether he still wants God or not. Unfortunately, there's the very one tree the devil himself came and said, God is God generous. By the way, the devil always makes God to be more stingy than he really is. Okay? God is a good God. He's the one that comes to give and to give and to bless and to bless and to heal and to heal and to build you up and to build you up. Amen. He doesn't come to kill and steal and destroy. The devil does that. Now, once man chooses the wrong side, God cannot say, never mind, you know. God cannot do that. God has to win man back righteously, judiciously. Hence the cross of Jesus Christ. There all the sins of man fell on Jesus. He died in our place. The Bible records Jesus' youth in just one passage when he was 12 years old. And he told his parents when he was in the temple, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? And the Father's business is to seek that which is lost, to heal that which is broken, to raise those who are dead. And on the cross, he cried, finished. The assignment that he came to do was finished. The law, the 10 commandments fulfilled in Christ. So then when you believe on Christ, God gives you an A+ as far as the 10 commandments is concerned. As if you kept them all. The devil's power over you is now broken, finished. He still acts a master deceiver. And a great liar is someone who knows to act like he has power when he has no more power. And the Bible says, Jesus went down during the 3 days and 3 nights. After he paid for our sins, he went down to a place called Sheol, which is hell. And there, Jesus proclaimed the news that he was the long-promised Messiah in the Old Testament. To all those who were bound there. This is not purgatory. This is another teaching altogether. To all those who are righteous, who believe on Jesus Christ to come before Jesus came. That includes all the Old Testament saints. They were kept in a place in hell. Not the suffering place, not the tormented place. It's a place called paradise. Today is vacant. Jesus brought them all out with him when he rose from the dead. And Jesus rose from the dead bodily. And now he has the keys of hell and death. He has the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Remember the keys I told you? It was a man that gave Satan the key over this earth. Now it is a man that has righteously got it back. And there's nothing the devil can say. And do you know who he gave the key to? To all those who follow him, to all those who believe on him. It's like he says to you, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you allow on earth, heaven will allow. Whatever you disallow on earth, heaven will disallow. And that's why we've allowed a lot of things going on, not realizing that we have the authority to pray and to command. No sickness left anyone's body until there was a command in the name of Jesus, because he has given us the authority.
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this.
If today's message has blessed you, we want to send you Joseph's book, Grace for Today, to equip and strengthen your thought life every day this month. Receive your copy for a gift of any amount to the ministry. When you request a resource, your giving powers this program and our ability to send the gospel of grace in these urgent last days. For a gift of $75 or more, receive 3 copies of Grace for Today, plus a specially designed card set to encourage and share with your loved ones. Call or text the number on your screen, or visit our website to request your copy today.
And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
Lift your hands all across this place, everywhere that's watching this right now. This coming week, I believe the blessing will set the course and the tone of this entire week for you and your family. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord bless you with the blessings of Father Abraham. And the Lord keep you, preserve you and your loved ones throughout this week from harm, danger, from all the power of the evil one. The Lord make His face to shine on you and be favorable to you. May you find the favor of God in all that you do. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and yours and grant to you and your families His shalom, peace, and well-being. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you again.
Thank you for watching today's program. If you are new to the Gospel of Grace, Pastor Joseph Prince would like to send you a copy of his book, Destined to Reign, to help you get started. It's yours absolutely free just by contacting us today. Offer is available to U.S. residents while stocks last. Just pay shipping and handling.
Before we go, I just want to appreciate the people who make this possible. Grace Legacy Builders. It is your generosity and support that allows us to continue sending the gospel of grace all around the world for free. Because of your giving, people are experiencing freedom from years of wrong believing. I want you to know that you have personally made a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you and your family.
You can make a real difference by becoming a Grace Legacy Builder today. Together, we can reach more people with the life-changing gospel of grace. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to get started.
What if there was a better way to navigate some of life's biggest challenges? A way to dig deeper, feel pastored, and find the answers you're looking for in the Word of God? Introducing Grace Academy.
Grace Academy has been on my heart for a long time. If you've ever had questions about how to walk in grace or what it means to live by grace, this is the place where you'll find answers on how to live a life that's anchored on our Lord Jesus.
Featuring brand new content from Joseph Prince, Grace Academy is a digital pastoring experience designed to help you through some of life's toughest moments. Participate in activities that will help you apply the Word of God to your daily life. Discover resources that will help deepen your understanding of the Lord's love and heart for you. Get free access today. Text GA to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/GA.
Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.